Blog Talk Radio.
The lover of our soul and the rock of our faith. I want to say happy Sabbath to everyone. I hope that you have had a blessed day, that you've gotten the prescribed rest, and that you are ready to eat from the word of the Most High on this evening as we end the Shabbat. On this evening, we are talking about 3 days and three nights. Why is that important? Because 3 days and three nights in the earth is one of the prophecies that qualifies Messiah as Messiah. And if he didn't stay in the grave 3 days and three nights, then he's disqualified. Okay, so one of the things that we as a people have to do is We're supposed to verify all things. And we're going to work through this today together. I was unable to find my original notes on this, so we're going to recreate them together using the scriptures. That's all we have to do is use the scriptures, okay? And understanding the scriptures and understanding how the Most High keeps time is very important. And understanding, you know, the feast days. That's why it's important to know his feast days, to know his Sabbaths. Because this is how the death of Messiah is reckoned. Okay? And so we're going to do a simple exercise after we pray in. And, you know, look at this. Because as we're coming up on the feast days our people, then we have to understand that what Messiah said, what qualifies them as Messiah, number one. Number two, we have to be worshiping in spirit and in truth. The Most High does not want us to be worshiping ignorantly, which the church seems to be doing for some reason, you know, just making stuff up. And so we're going to show that Messiah could not have been crucified on a Friday, okay, and then come out of the tomb Sunday morning. No matter how you reckon that, you can't get 3 days and three nights. You're throwing hand grenades, trying to get close. And we know that the Most High doesn't work in close. A prophet has to prophesy, whatever he prophesies has to happen exactly as the Most High has said. And so Messiah himself said that he would be in the belly of the earth 3 days and three nights, just as the prophecy for Jonah was. And we'll read that. But we're going to go over some fundamental things first as to how the scriptures reckon time. Because today, we don't count the time the same way. And so we're trying to come up with, you know, figuring out when he went into the tomb, you know, when he came out or when he was crucified and when he came out, when the day starts, when it ends, those types of things. And it's important because it goes toward the credibility of the scriptures. It goes toward the credibility of Yeshua HaMashiach being, in the English, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. And it's important to us because we're not supposed to worship any falsehood. And he says, to verify all things, test all things. So there, you know, we don't want to be keeping any false holidays. The Most High has given us a feast day for every day that he wants celebrated. And even the birth of Messiah, as I said, when we look in the scriptures and we look in the prophecies, we can see that it's not December 25th. It's not in October. But it has to be during the first month of the year. And the only other day that we're given in the first month of the year to celebrate is the new moon. And so this is I'm about 99% sure that Messiah was born during the first month of the year, Nisan, or in the scriptures, that month is described as Abib, the time of earing, in the spring, and that's when our year starts, okay, in the springtime. It doesn't start the 1st of January, so we got to understand these things. We're on a different type of calendar, and it's reckoned differently, and the day is reckoned differently. Okay, so you're going to have to bear with me a little bit this evening as I look up some scriptures, and we'll look them up together so that we can establish some ways of reckoning the scriptures first, and then, you know, we're going to do a little bit of exercise. I'm going to, you know, ask you to do something, and then we have to see if this is true. If it proves to be false, then we need to stop observing it. And then if we reckon it the way the scriptures say, then what day was Messiah actually crucified on? And, you know, what are these other feast days? So what is the church doing versus what the scripture says to do? Okay? So let us do this. Let us do our statement of faith. Let me pull this up. And as I said, I want you to bear with me on this evening. I was looking for my original notes on this. I thought I had found them before. But I'm going to recreate it with you. Okay? We'll recreate it together. And we'll go by the scriptures of the Most High and allow them to tell us. All right. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3. Verse 26 through 29, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise on this day, for truly, truly our Elohim is worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. So hallelujah to you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 10,000 praises times 10,000 times 10,000 times 10,000. Praises to you, O Yah, our Elohim. You are the great I Am. You are the King of Israel, our Redeemer and our Savior. And Father, we just want to glorify you on this day as we have honored you in your Shabbat and we have kept your commandment and obeyed your voice, Father. That by this shall we know that we are your people, that we keep your commandments and that we keep your Sabbaths. Hallelujah. It distinguishes us from all the peoples of the earth. And Father, we just want to glorify you on this morning and thank you for giving us clarity and thank you for opening our eyes and thank you for taking away the blinders from us and opening our ears and giving us a heart and a mind, Father, to obey you. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. From glory to glory, thou art Elohim, and you are Elohim all by yourself, Father, and another will we not worship, another will we not bow down to, and another will we not give adoration, hallelujah, or our attention at all. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and hallelujah. Glory to you, O Yah, our Elohim. You are the great I Am. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads as we turn toward the east. And before we begin this prayer, we want to welcome all those in Pal Talk, in Blog Talk, on the internet in general, whether you are calling in on the phone or you're listening online. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Now, as we go before the Most High in prayer, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on the earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Our scripture reading on this evening, we're going to be going into Deuteronomy. We're going to start in chapter 10. We're going to get chapter 11, some out of chapter 11 and some out of chapter 12. Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee? What does he require of thee? But to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day, for thy good. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other Elohims which you have not known. And then we want to get Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 1. As we know, to keep the statutes, laws, and the commandments, these are the statutes and the judgments which you shall observe to do in the land, which thy Elohim of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it, all the days that you live upon the earth. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right, one of the first things that I want to do on this evening, I want us to understand when the day starts according to the Most High and how the day is reckoned, okay? So let us go to Genesis chapter 1. Actually, we're not going to start yet. Hold on. Let's do this.
There is no fear, 'cause I believe. There is no doubt, 'cause I have seen your faithfulness. My fortress, over and over, I have a home found in your name. I have a strength found in your grace, your faithfulness, my fortress, over and over. Make way to the water, walk me to the fire, do what you are famous for, what you are.
greet you in the Master's name. All right, let's get started on this precept. And I want to set some things up as reckoning. You may want to write these scriptures down as we go through them. I'm going to ask ourselves a couple of questions that are, you know, relevant to actually making sure that the scriptures are correct indeed, that, you know, we're going about to, my purpose is to disprove the church, but to also validate that, you know, Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, is in fact the Messiah, okay? It's critical that we know that because Orthodox Judaism claims that he's a false Messiah because they were looking for Messiah ben David, David, the conquering Messiah. And they were not looking for Messiah ben Joseph at that time, the suffering Messiah. So they don't adhere to Mashiach being the true Messiah. That's the reason that they don't. They were looking for him to come and be the king, you know, take over Israel and run all the enemies of Israel out of Israel, okay? And he didn't come at that time to do that. He had to first address, you know, the nation's problem and the world's problem, which was sin. You know, I'm looking for that, as we talked about on this morning, I'm looking for that holy nation, that holy people. And so they don't accept him as the Messiah. And then the church accepts him as Messiah, but then messes up everything else, which is, you know, it's kind of just weird that the church would accept, you know, Yeshua as the Messiah, but then don't validate or correctly validate the prophecies concerning him. Okay, and but they're in the scriptures, and so we want to validate so that we know that we know that we know that Yeshua is the true Messiah. What day he was crucified on? When did he come out of the tomb? What feast days the Most High had set up concerning this before the event ever even happened? As I said, we do not celebrate Easter. Okay, it is a pagan holiday. We do celebrate that day, but we don't celebrate Easter. And so these things are leading up to these feast days that we keep. And I want to teach them prior to so that we can celebrate them, you know, in that day. We be before the Most High. We celebrate, truly celebrate him, honor him in his feast days. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. The book of Genesis chapter 1. And what we're going to do is we want to look and see how did the Most High reckon the day? How did he say a day started and ended? Okay? How did he say a day started and ended? So Genesis chapter 1, verse 23. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. But actually, let's actually go back up. Let's start at verse 5. Was down in my scriptures. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 5. And Elohim called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, if we go to verse 8, you will get the same thing for the second day. You go to verse 13, you will get the same thing for the third day. You go to verse 19, you will get the same thing for the fourth day. Verse 23, the same thing for the fifth day. And in verse 31, the same thing for the sixth day. Okay, the evening and the morning, the evening and the morning, the evening and the morning. This is how the Most High says the day starts. The day starts in the evening. You go through the morning, through the daytime. So it actually starts with the night. As the sun goes down, begins the start of the next day. Okay? So we got to understand that this is the way the Most High reckons time. This is the way he starts his feast days. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12. So those days, you know, I'll give you these verses again. Genesis chapter 1, verse 5, verse 8, verse 13, verse 19, verse 23, and verse 31. He did not count any other day. He did not count any other day any different. It started with the evening and the morning. And the next evening would be the start of the next day. Okay, so that's why we start our Sabbaths, what? Friday evening. Not Saturday morning when the sun comes up. We don't reckon time by the Gregorian clock or calendar, the Julian clock and calendar. We don't reckon it that way. The Most High doesn't, so we can't. We do it for the world because that's the way the world operates on, okay? So if you show up to, you know, to work and they say your job starts at 8 o'clock and you're and you say, hey, my day starts in the evening, then you would be in trouble with the world. But as far as the Most High goes and keeping his feast days and honoring him, the day starts in the evening. Every evening as the sun goes down is the beginning of a new day, not the opposite when the sun is coming up. And it's not 12 midnight to 12 midnight. It's not how he reckons, okay? So let's go to Genesis chapter 12. I'm sorry, Exodus chapter 12. I said Genesis. Exodus chapter 12. Because we want to look and see when he said to start the feast days. Not a particular feast day, but this is going to be talking about the Passover. But he's telling them what time of the day to actually start it. Okay? And give me a hot second here. That should be in that verse. Yeah, it's there. I'm just looking at the wrong word. All right. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 18. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening, even is evening, okay, you shall eat the unleavened bread until the 121st day of the month at evening. Because Passover and the Feast of Unleavened is supposed to last, well, the Feast of Unleavened is supposed to last 7 days. Now, we're not specifically going over the timing of the feast days. We'll get it from the New Testament. Just understand that it was the way it's worded here, you would think that you were supposed to start on the 15th day of the month to keep the Feast of Unleavened for 7 days. But it's really the Passover is the first day of the Feast of Unleavened. You don't eat start not eating unleavened on Passover, and then for 7 days from there. But when, the way it's written in Exodus, you might say the 15th day starts the Feast of Unleavened, and 14th is Passover. But it's corrected in Deuteronomy, and we're not going to go through that today. I'll do that at another time to show you that the New Testament lines up with Scripture. It lines up with, you know, the Torah. And so the New Testament is going to tell us that the Passover, the first day of unleavened is the Passover. And that was corrected, I want to say corrected or rewritten in Deuteronomy so that you can understand it better. But, you know, a lot of our brothers and sisters who are of the, you know, of the faith and say that they're awakened, they will go by Exodus to count their feast days. And, but the Most High corrected it. Okay. He actually, I won't say corrected, he clarified it. The feast days, it's not, you know, Feast of Unleavened is 7 days from the 14th day of the month until the 21st day of the month. That's 7 days. It's not an 8-day feast. Okay. 7 days. And the first day being the 14th and the last day being the 21st day. The first day being a holy convocation and the last day being a holy convocation. So it begins at evening on the 14th and ends at evening on the 21st of the month. Okay? I want you to do me a favor right now. I know we all got a calendar. And just for giggles, I just want you to look at your calendar and tell me, what is the first day of the week on your calendar? The first day of the week. Is it Saturday? Is it Sunday? Is it Monday? The first day of the week on your calendar is going to be Sunday. Okay? And the seventh day of the week on your calendar is going to be Saturday. Now, this is what the Most High is going to hold you to, because this is what you're going to, this is what you're able to know. During my time that I live Most High, the first day of the week was Sunday, and the last day of the week was Saturday. Now, when those days start, according to man, they start at midnight. Midnight to midnight. But the Most High says the day starts evening to evening. Do we, you know, so I hope we can understand that. Okay? All right. Give me a hot second here. I need to close my door. All right. Apologize for that. All right, so what we are talking about, when did Messiah, was he in the tomb 3 days and three nights? When was Messiah, when was his resurrection? Let's talk about some popular, or the popular traditional teaching today, that Messiah was crucified on Friday. So write that down, Messiah crucified on Friday. And that he was resurrected, came out of the tomb on Sunday. Okay, and let's get the verses for this. Not that he was crucified on Friday, but when did he come out of the tomb? Let's go to, and as I said, we're going to recreate this together. Go to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 1. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 1. And in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of Yah ascended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning. This angel looked like lightning. And his raiment, his clothing, was as white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Yeshua, which was crucified. He is not here. So this is at the end of the Sabbath. Now, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, this is important wording. Why? We don't reckon, we might say, oh, this was Saturday night. Sunday morning, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. Okay? But the truth of the matter is, the Sabbath, the day starts in the what? Evening. So, what would be the end of the Sabbath? I'm going to leave that for you for right now. But this is when they came to check, and he wasn't there. He was already out of the tomb. This is at the end of the Sabbath. Now, when did he come out? It was right before this time. Because he had to stay in there 3 days and three nights. Okay? Let's say Friday. I want you to write down Friday. Write down Saturday. And look at your calendar. Friday, if Messiah was crucified on Friday, and then he came out of the tomb, he was not in the tomb, at the end of the Sabbath. We know that Saturday is the seventh day, and Saturday evening would be the end of the Sabbath, because Saturday evening would be the dawn of Sunday, the first day of the week, evening to evening. Friday, crucified. That's Friday. Let's say Friday at 12. We're going to get the exact times from the scripture so that we know what times we're dealing with. Friday, he's crucified according to current teachings. At the end of the Sabbath, which would have been Saturday evening, that's 2 days. He's out of the tomb. That means, according to the church's understanding, there is no way that he was in the tomb 3 days and three nights. It is not possible. That right there alone proves that what the church is celebrating is in error. Because the Most High doesn't throw hand grenades. He doesn't get close. It must be exact. So they say, oh, Sunday morning he came out. No. At the end of the Sabbath, he wasn't there. As it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. Dawn is not when the sun is coming up. That's what we call it. But dawn is really when the sun is going down, sunset. To the way the Most High reckons things. That's the start of the next day, the evening and the morning. The evening is what the day starts as the sun goes down. So at the end of the Sabbath is the seventh day of the week. As it begins to dawn toward the first day of the week, Sunday. So as the sun goes down today, as it went down today, wherever you're at, you're now into, if the sun has gone down, you're now into the first day of the week according to the reckoning of the Bible. By man's laws, you're still in Saturday. And the day won't change technically until midnight. But that's not the way that the Most High does it. Okay, the Most High does it. The sun goes down. You're now into the start of the next day. As the sun is going down, you're dawning toward the next day. I pray we can get that. Okay, and understand that. So, if it's Friday that he's crucified, as the church celebrates it. And according to the scripture, he comes out at the end of the Sabbath. Friday, Saturday, 2 days. So they try to say, oh no, it was Sunday. But that's a violation of the scripture. He came out, he says himself that he would come out on the third day. At the end of the third day. The end of the third day would have been when the sun was going down. Mary them come to the tomb right at that time or close to that time, but Messiah is already gone. And the angel said, he's not here. Whoever you're looking for, I know you're looking for Messiah, but he's not here. He has already risen. This is not Sunday morning when the sun is coming up. This is Saturday evening as the sun is setting. Okay? Because of the way it's worded in the English, then we think it's, oh, it's Sunday morning, in the morning before the sun is coming up. No, it's actually the opposite. It's Saturday evening as the sun is going down, the evening and the morning. The next day won't start until the next evening, which means that day ends in the evening, and the other day begins in the evening. Okay, I pray we can get this. All right, let's go to the scriptures of when Messiah actually would die, okay? And then we'll start looking at the days from there. Let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 15. The book of Mark, chapter 15. And we're not going to deal with all this with Pilate and all this stuff. We're not going to talk about the people hollering for his crucifixion. Different lessons. We're looking at the timing. We just want to deal with the timing. And we're going to start in verse 25. Somewhere around there. Mark chapter 15, verse 25. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. Now, the third hour, as they counted the hours, it will go from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. The third hour would be 9 a.m. in the morning. And why they reckon this way, only they know. But this would be 9 a.m., and it would not be 9 p.m. at night. They did not crucify him at night. So the third hour, 6 a.m., would be the first hour. 9 a.m. would be the third hour. And it seems like a contradiction. Seems like a problem there. But it's really the way that they counted it. The hours of the day. Because at night you weren't supposed to be out. Okay. They come and get him at night. And we're going to show that. We'll see that they came and got him at night. But he's being persecuted by the Pharisees and the Sadducees first. And then they bring him to Pilate. And then Pilate holds him, and then he persecutes him. And then he sends him to be crucified. Okay? The third hour of the day, they crucify him. This is 9 a.m. in the morning, in the daytime. Verse 33. And when the sixth hour was come, 3 hours later, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. Now, the sixth hour would have been noon. 9, 3 hours later is noon. Until the ninth hour, 3 hours from noon, 3 p.m. And at the ninth hour, Yeshua cried with a loud voice, saying, Elo, Elo, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my Elohim, my Elohim, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, behold, he calls Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, saying, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. And Yeshua cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. So this is in the ninth hour of the day. Let's say this is Friday, as the church has said, Friday, the ninth hour of the day, 3 p.m., 3 days and 3 nights. So let's do the math. Friday, 3 p.m. Saturday, at the end of the Sabbath, about 6 p.m. You don't even get 2 full whole days there. You don't get the fulfilling of the prophecy. Because if he was crucified on Friday, and the scripture we just read in Matthew 28:1 said that at the end of the Sabbath was the seventh day. Messiah was out of the tomb. He died on, according to the church, Friday. If they read the scriptures, it would be Friday, the ninth hour of the day. And that's when the sun is shining, reckoned that way. But it's not the start of the day, for, you know, as reckoning goes. Then we got a problem. Because then Messiah didn't fulfill the prophecy. And he cannot be Messiah. Okay, so can we understand that? Cannot be Messiah. If what the church is saying is true, Friday he was crucified. And so they want to say he came out of the tomb on the third day, the first day of the week, but he came out of the tomb at the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day. That would have been the evening. Saturday evening. Then they have him in there really, really less than 24 hours. So that is not possible. That doesn't work. So what we have to do is then we have to reckon. For the scriptures to be true, there has to be 3 days and 3 nights, as reckoned by the Most High. So we want to get a piece of paper, and I hope you do this. Get a piece of paper, and I want you to write down, and I'm getting a piece myself. Evening, evening, evening. Okay? Write it, you know, down the page, evening 3 times. That's going to represent the start of 3 days. Okay? And at the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. So the last one, the last evening that you write, we're going to put first day. And actually we need four evenings. Let me make sure I'm writing this right. Evening. Okay. So evening in verse 28 and 1 would have been the end of the Sabbath. I want you to write Saturday. If you put some spaces between these evenings, because you're going to have to write some stuff in there. I want you to write Saturday, and up under that would be evening, the start of the first day. Messiah came out of the tomb. He was already out when they came. Okay? Now we got to count backwards. 3 full days. Okay? So we got day and night. We got Saturday evening, and then in 28 and 1, that would have been the start of the first day. If you move up one to the evening, then that would have been Friday evening. Friday evening would have been the start of the Sabbath. So Saturday evening is the end of the Sabbath. Friday evening is the start of the Sabbath. That's one day. Evening to evening. The next evening up, you would have to put Thursday. And Thursday evening would have been 2 days. Going backwards. Then in between that, you would write Wednesday. And Wednesday evening would have been the start of 3 days. That would have been 3 days. Now, when we go and apply this, you go back up. At 9 o'clock a.m. on Tuesday, 9 o'clock a.m. on Tuesday, during the daytime, Messiah is crucified. At 3 p.m. on Tuesday, he is dead. When we read the account in the scriptures, and we're going to go get this, the soldiers were instructed. They were instructed to break the legs of all the men because the next day was the preparation day for Shabbat. Messiah goes into the tomb before the sun sets, at the sunset of Tuesday, which is start of Wednesday. So he's crucified Tuesday at 9 a.m. He dies at 3 p.m. He is in the tomb, in the ground, by sunset. That's one night. Wednesday during the day would be a day, a daytime. Wednesday day is one day. Wednesday night starts the beginning of the second day. So that's the start of day two. But it starts at night. Remember that. So that's a night. The second night. But it's the beginning of Thursday. That night. It's the beginning of Thursday. So the second day is during the day on Thursday. Thursday evening starts the third night, which is a Friday. Friday during the day would be the third day. But Friday night, that's the start of the third day, Friday evening, so we're off a day. We're off a day with this reckoning. So we gotta go back and correct that. So let's move everything forward one day. 9 a.m. Wednesday during the day. Messiah is crucified. So let's write that down. Nine a.m. Wednesday. Messiah is crucified. 3 p.m. He dies. Wednesday during the day. By sunset, he is in the tomb. He's in the ground. That would be the start of Thursday. So Wednesday night is one night in the ground. Thursday during the day is one day in the ground. Thursday evening is the start of Friday. So Thursday evening, that night, is the second night he is in the ground. Friday, during the day, is the second day that he is in the ground. Friday night begins the third night that he's in the ground. Friday when the sun goes down. That's the start of the Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath. Saturday, during the daytime hours, is the third day that he's in the ground. Saturday evening, which is the seventh day, but starts the first day of the week at evening, Messiah is coming out of the tomb. So Messiah is crucified on Wednesday, 9 a.m. By 3 p.m., he is in the grave. He has died. By sunset, he is in the tomb. And we're going to go read these scriptures. Okay. So Wednesday during the day, crucified in the tomb by Wednesday night, which is the start of Thursday. That nighttime period is the first night he's in the tomb. Thursday during the day is the daytime that he's in the tomb. Friday, Thursday evening starts Friday. Thursday night is the second night that he's in the tomb. Friday during the day is the second day. Friday during the night, when it starts night, he is in the tomb. Friday night, he's in the tomb. Saturday during the day is the third day he's in the tomb. The daytime hour. As it begins to get night again, evening, Saturday evening, as it begins to dawn toward the first day of the week, Messiah has come out of the tomb. When the ladies get there, they find it empty. He could have just left. He could have left an hour before. It depends upon, I really believe the exact time depends upon exactly what hour they put him in, that tomb. But we get 3 days and three nights. That's the only way that we can get 3 days and three nights and fulfill the scriptures. And keep the reckoning with the way that the Most High reckons. Now, let's get some other scriptures here. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26. Let's establish something here. Matthew chapter 26. And we're going to get verse 17. Well, actually, we can get verse 2 and then we'll get verse 17. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 2. This is Messiah talking. You know that in 2 days, is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Messiah was crucified on Passover. Now, one of the things that I want you to understand that I found that Orthodox Judaism is doing today, all of their feast days are starting on the Passover, or starting on the weekly Sabbath. Now, why they did that, there's a reason, and I haven't found it yet, why they do that, because it's a corruption. All of the Most High's feast days don't start on his weekly Sabbath. Okay, so Messiah is saying here, you know that in 2 days, is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Drop down to verse 17. Now, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened, the disciples came to Yeshua, saying to him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? Where are we going to eat the Passover at? Okay. So Messiah had already said earlier, in 2 days is the Passover. Now in verse 17, now it's the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Let me get another verse to go with this. And we would have to do this. Let's go to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And we're going to get verse 1. Now the Feast of Unleavened Bread drew nigh, it drew near, which is called the Passover. The first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread is called the Passover. The entire 7 days is the Feast of Unleavened. Okay, so as I said, if we go to Exodus or Leviticus where this was instituted, these days, you might say it's the 14th day of the month. The 14th day of the month is the first day, is Passover. Let's go read that. And I believe we're in Exodus chapter 12. No, actually, let's get Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. Let's start in verse 4. Leviticus chapter 23, starting in verse 4. These are the feasts of Yah, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons, at their times, is what it's saying. In the 14th day of the first month, this is not January, this would be Nisan, or Abib, the time of earring, spring, the first month. At evening is Yah's Passover. So we reckon things by what? The new moon. The new moons start the months. It's not the new moon doesn't come on the first day of the month as we reckon them. And this is where a lot of, even a lot of Hebrews were getting confused. In their reckoning, the beginning of all months start with the new moon of that month. Okay, and so we celebrate the new moon today, the beginning of the month, the beginning of the month. On the 14th day of the first month is Yah's Passover. Now, because the moon is on a 28 or a 29 day cycle. It's not on a 30 day cycle. Just like we have a leap year in the Gregorian calendar, because they reckon the time to solar, to the sun. Every 4 years, you get a leap year. They add a day, 1 day to February. You go from February being 28 days to February being 29 days. That's to reckon the calendar. That's so that the days stay aligned. Got to add a day every 4 years. But up under the lunar calendar, every 4 years, you have to add a complete month. A complete month. And I think that month is Adar. First and second Adar in the Babylonian. It would be first and second Nisan in the Hebrew. And so we got to understand that the first of the month, the moon doesn't rise on the first day of the month. So that could be the 12th of our month is the first day of Nisan. It could be the 28th of the month according to the moon when it rises. It could be the 13th of the month. And this is what we got to understand to keep this straight in our head. It is the first of the month for the Most High. Doesn't line up with our Gregorian calendar, the first day of the month. And because it's associated with the new moon, that day even fluctuates during each year. So the first of Nisan 2012, let me pull this up to give you an example. How these days fluctuate. Give me a hot second. I didn't pull this up earlier. Passover in 2021 would have been around March the 27th. Okay. In 2022, so that means if Passover is around the 27th of the month, 14 days before that would be around the 13th of the month, would be the first of Nisan. It's the 13th day of March, Gregorian calendar, but according to the Hebrew calendar, the 13th of the month would be the first of Nisan. Okay? Let's look at 2022 to see how far apart these days are. Passover 2022, according to what I'm looking at here, and I will go back and I tell you the correct days because they will make it, the Orthodox Jews will make it fall on a Sabbath, a weekly Sabbath, so that they can keep it, but it's not according to the Bible. So they're saying that it's the 15th of April, and we're just going to use that date for right now. On my site, I have the correct days, and I should have just went there. The 15th of the month this year would be Passover, according to the Jewish calendar, okay, according to the day they're going to celebrate. If we were going to figure out what the first of Nisan is, then we would just go back 14 days. That would put us around the 1st of April, and it sort of falls in line this year with the Gregorian calendar, the beginning of the month. But it was 13 March. The 21st, it was 13 March in 2021 and 1st of April in 2022. And so this confused people. No matter what, how you reckon, you have to look at it like this. The 1st of January doesn't fall on the same calendar day every year. It moves a day every year. So let's say last year, the 1st of January was on a Monday. This year, the 1st of January was on a Tuesday. Next year, the 1st of January will be on a Wednesday, if you're looking for the day of the week. And it's the same thing with the Hebrew calendar. The 1st of Nisan is the 1st of Nisan. But it is tied to the new moon. And so the new moon may be on a completely different day each year and will be on a completely different day 99% of the time than the Gregorian calendar. So 13th of March 2021 was one Nisan or one Abib, depending upon if you want to use the Babylonian calendar or the Hebrew calendar. The Babylonian calendar has months assigned to all the months. The Hebrew calendar will just say first, second, and third month. May not necessarily have a name for that month. So the first month, 14th day, the first month, the first day of that month might be the middle of your month on your calendar. And so when people were trying to figure out how to ask for their vacation days and stuff like that, you know, every year, Christmas is on December 25th. No matter what day of the week, it's on December 25th, how they reckon their days. And because we're used to that calendar, then we know, hey, December 25th is on this day. But then when we say the 14th day of the first month on the Hebrew calendar, because it's tied to the lunar cycle, last year it would be on the 13th of March. This year it is on the 1st of April. But it's still the first day of the first month. So I hope we can understand that. And so these days can become confusing for us if we don't understand how it works. Now, brought that up because when we're reading the scripture, we're going to read about the preparation day. What is the preparation day? Every week, we are supposed to have a preparation day. Okay? And that preparation day, you're supposed to cook two meals. Or you're supposed to cook enough food for 2 days, that day and the Sabbath. Because on the Sabbath, you're not supposed to do any cooking. So Thursday evening to Friday evening would be the preparation day. Because once Sabbath starts, you're not supposed to cook anything. You're to eat off of what you already cooked. And the Most High trained Israel this day in the wilderness. So let's go look at this. Give me 1 second here. Let's go to Exodus chapter 16. The book of Exodus chapter 16. And we're going to start in verse 1. Like I said, we're recreating this together, and I'm sort of doing this out of my head. Let's just start in verse 1. Let's just get this whole story here. So do we have understanding? Verse 1, Exodus chapter 16, starting in verse 1. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt. Now, this is the second month after they left. The first month, they had a Passover. That night, they did a Passover, the Most High did the Passover. He said, hey, go get that lamb, every man, every family, every household, get a lamb and kill it and put the blood over the doorposts. And that night he came in and he killed all the firstborn. They departed on that next day, they departed that night, really, which was then in the 15th day. They departed that night. Excuse me. And they left. Now they're into the second month. They've been traveling a month. And they come to Sinai, the 15th day of the second month, after the departing of the land of Egypt. Okay? Been traveling for 2 months, actually, and they're in the 15th day of the second month. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to Elohim we had died by the hand of Yah in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. We hungry. We ain't got nothing to eat. We should have stayed in Egypt. Yah should have killed us there rather than bring us out here. Then said Yah unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. So I'm going to rain down bread for this whole entire congregation every day. And they're to gather a certain rate every day. No, don't be going, get full. But don't become gluttonous. Don't be trying to save it up. We're going to read this, okay? And I'm doing this to prove them whether they will walk in my law or no or not. And it shall come to pass on the sixth day, they shall prepare that which they bring in. The sixth day is the preparation day. And it shall be twice as much as they gathered daily. So every day they were supposed to get up, go out, and gather this manna. Enough for them to eat that day. They weren't supposed to keep it overnight. And every day they would get up and go gather what they needed for that day. And they would eat it that day. And if they tried to keep it overnight, it would rot. But on the sixth day, they were to gather for 2 days. Okay? Verse 5 again. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto the children of Israel, at evening, then you shall know that Yah has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then you shall see the glory of Yah. For he hears your murmurings against Yah. And what are we that you murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be when Yah shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For Yah your Elohim hears your murmurings, which you murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against Yah. And Moses spake unto Aaron, saying, and unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before Yah, for he has heard your murmurings. He's heard your complainings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of Yah appeared in the cloud. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at evening you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am Yah, your Elohim. And it came to pass that at evening the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay around about the camps. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. So this was a fine mist on the ground, but it was a round ball. Okay, and they were to scrape it or gather it, and it would, you know, clump together. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, "It is manna, for we know not what it was." And Moses said unto them, "This is the bread which Yah has given you to eat. This is the thing which Yah has commanded. Gather every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons, the number in your family. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents." And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more and some less. Why? Because some people had more people in their tents than others. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. So they had enough for them for that day for each member of their family. And Moses said, "Let no man leave it till the morning. Gather what you need to eat today, but don't leave this bread, this manna, overnight." Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses. They listened not unto Moses. But some of them left it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth, angry with them. And they gathered it every morning. So we know we always have some hard-headed people. Tell them to do one thing, they're going to do something else. They're going to do what they want to do. Moses says, "I want to prove them to see if they will obey." So we see we have some that immediately didn't obey. They left it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. So when the sun rose up in the air high and it got hot, this manna melted. It didn't stay there for them to continue gathering it. And it came to pass that on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, "This is that which Yah has said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto Yah." The Sabbath belongs to the Most High. Okay. "Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto Yah. Bake that which you will bake today, and seethe or boil that which you will boil, seethe, and that which remaineth over, lay up." Now before, they weren't supposed to save it. So bake it and save it, and keep it until the morning. This is the sixth day, and this is the miracle. Every day of the week, you're going to gather enough for that day. Don't leave it until the morning, or it's going to rot. But on the sixth day, the preparation day, you're going to gather twice as much. Okay? And keep it until the morning and eat it on the next day. And they laid it up until the morning as Moses bade, and it did not stink. Neither was there any worm therein. Now every other day, this stuff would be all full of worms. We couldn't keep it. But the Most High says, "I'm going to make it to last for 2 days." So he's training them. On the sixth day, prepare you for 2 days. Because on my Sabbath, on the seventh day, I don't want you to be doing any servile work. Not even cooking. Okay? Verse 24 again. "And they laid it up till the morning, and Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, Eat that today, for today is the Sabbath unto Yah. Today you shall not find it in the field." So the people didn't fast on Sabbath. They ate. They prepared. They gathered for 2 days. on the sixth day. They ate half of it on the sixth day that they gathered, and they ate the other half on the Sabbath day. They didn't have to cook it. They didn't have to do any baking or any boiling of the meat, the quails. And they honored the Most High. Verse 25, we're just going to read it. Moses said, eat that today, for today is the Sabbath unto Yah. Today you shall not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it. But on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it, there shall be none. So if you eat up everything on the sixth day, the seventh day you're going to starve. The seventh day you're going to fast because you ain't going to go out there and find nothing. Okay? But it was meant that they would prepare on the sixth day twice as much as they did on the days 1 through 4 or 1 through 5. And then on the seventh day, they wouldn't prepare anything. They would eat of what they prepared on the sixth day. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day to gather. And they found none. Didn't I tell you there weren't going to be none on the seventh day? See how hard-headed some of these people are? You're going to always have some that disobey. It's shown from the very beginning in the scriptures. It's shown from the very beginning that these people are just disobedient. You're going to always have some disobedient ones. And Yah said unto Moses, how long refuse you to keep my commandments and my laws? That's not Moses doing it. It's some of these people. But the Most High, as I told you, one person in the camp, the Most High will blame everybody. Now he goes around, he only kills those that are guilty, but everybody else suffers. Because now he's angry. I told them to only gather enough for a day. You had some that wanted to gather for 2 days when I told them not to do it. Then I told you to gather for 2 days, and on the seventh day, don't gather any. Eat what you gathered on the sixth day, the second omer that you gathered. And don't do any servile work. And these people won't listen. See that Yah has given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide you every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. Didn't cook. They stayed in their tents. They rested. Now, in these days, they rested because, you know, the Most High could wake them up at any time. During the night, during the day, all the other 5 days of the week. He could wake them up at midnight and say, let's go. We're moving. We're on the move. Pack up. And they might walk 2 days or 3 days. But he said, on the seventh day, you're going to always rest. You're going to always rest. This day is holy unto me. And then when he creates the nation of Israel, then he tells them, this is why you keep it. Because in 6 days, I created heaven and earth and all there that there is in. And on the seventh day, I rested. When I brought you out of Egypt, I walked you for 5 days, 6 days, and on the sixth day I told you to gather for 2 days. And you're going to rest on the seventh day. So this rest is not new. This rest existed before Israel was a nation. The Most High observed it. More than likely, Adam and Eve observed it. It's not written. But more than likely, they did observe the Sabbath. But there was no law for them to observe it. But the Most High rested, so what do you think Adam and Eve was going to do? He'd rest every Sabbath. He honors that day. He remembers it. And he says, we will honor and remember it. So let's get this out of Leviticus. Well, we got the preparation day, and this is what we were after, okay? The preparation day. Let's go to the New Testament. Let's go to Mark chapter 15. You can find this in, you know, all the Gospels, but Mark chapter 15. Let's see what the preparation day is. See if it changed after all this time. Mark chapter 15, verse 42. And now when the evening was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the weekly Sabbath. The day before the Sabbath. Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of Elohim, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Yeshua. What day is the weekly Sabbath? That would be Friday night, Friday evening. This is the day before the Sabbath. Messiah is dead. So it's not a Friday. It is the preparation day that they get ready for the weekly Sabbath. But guess what day it also is? It is a high holy day. Messiah died on the Passover. So this has to be the Passover, and it is also the preparation day for the weekly Sabbath. I pray we can get that. He's in the ground. Going into the ground on the preparation day, which would have been, in that time, Thursday night. Or Wednesday evening, which would have been the start of the preparation day, because the day began in the evening. But they would have started preparing. And they would have prepared Thursday during the day, which would have been the sixth day, for the Sabbath, which would have started that evening. Thursday evening would have been the start of Friday. Friday evening, they would have been the start of the seventh day. So this is Thursday. He has been crucified and he is dead. This man is asking for his body. Okay? The Jews don't want to miss the preparation. They don't want to miss the weekly Sabbath. Our forefathers. Verse 4. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead. What? He's already dead? We keep people up on them crosses days upon days. But they had scourged and beat Messiah so bad. They had scourged him with the Roman whip that had bone and metal in it. It wasn't just some leather straps. But they embedded bone and metal so that when they hit you with it, it dug into your flesh. And then they would drag it and rip your flesh. There was a technique to it. Hit them. The bone and the metal would sink into their flesh, and you would pull on it to rip their flesh. And so Messiah's back and wherever else they hit him was ripped open. Then he was punched in the face. Think about it. Anybody ever got stuck with a thorn of any kind, small or big? Them suckers hurt. And the bigger it is, the more it hurts. I got a tree here on the side of my house that I put by both of my windows on the side of my house because anybody trying to break in, trust me, they don't want to deal with these thorns in this bush. And the bush is full of them. And the branches grow long and slender. So I could cut one and literally wrap it and weave it into a crown of thorns. And the thorns would be anywhere from an inch to 2 inches long. If you step on them with tennis shoes, these thorns will go through your tennis shoe into your foot. So when I'm cutting them, I don't wear tennis shoes. I wear my combat boots. Because they are falling all over the ground, these, you know, the branches, and it'll hurt you. So I imagine, you know, they take one of these and they weave it into a crown and then stick it on his head. Now, that don't sound too bad. But then they hit him in the head with a reed and knock these thorns into his head. I'm telling you, I've been stuck by one of these suckers and it hurts. It hurts something awful. So imagine that being done to your head. It's the preparation day. Messiah has been killed. Pilate is, you know, he's dead already. I sent him there at 9:00 in the morning, or earlier than that, because by the time they got there, whatever, however long that trip took, at 9 a.m., he was crucified. He's dead by 3, and Pilate is amazed. And because it was coming up on the feast days, the preparation days, they didn't want the dead bodies. They didn't want the Hebrews hanging on the cross. So they instructed the soldiers to break their legs. Why did they instruct them to break their legs? Because how they would stay alive is, if your arms are stretched out over your head, stretch wide and then up and your body's leaning forward, it becomes hard for you to breathe. And the only way that you can breathe is to push up on those nails that are in your foot, in your ankle really. Push up on those nails so you can take a breath. So as to stop them from doing that, they would break their legs. Now they can't push up and they suffocate to death. That's the purpose of that. When they came to Messiah, he was already dead. So they stuck a spear in his side to make sure. Didn't break his legs, but they stuck a spear between the ribs into his heart. And the blood and water had already started to pool around his heart. So it said blood and water came out. He was dead. A lot of people, when they suffer from congestive heart failure, that congestion is water, liquid around their heart. And when you die, then that water just stays there. The body's supposed to remove it. Your kidneys and, you know, all that's supposed to remove that water. That's why they give you water pills, because it will affect the pumping of your heart. So Messiah is dead and Pilate is marveling. He's dead already? And when he knew it was of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. So he confirmed with the centurion, hey, is he really dead? The centurion says, yeah, he's dead. Then he gives the body to Joseph. And he bought fine linen and took him and wrapped him in linen and laid him in a sepulcher, which was hewn out of rock, and rolled the stone unto the door of the sepulcher. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. So they knew where to come to prepare his body. And they weren't going to come until the end of the Sabbath. This is the preparation day. Then they got to go to the Sabbath. The whole day, that night, the Sabbath, the whole day and that night. And at the end of the Sabbath, he's coming up. But he's killed on Passover. Now, and I said something wrong here. When we go back up here and read, the accuracy is everything. They are coming up on the preparation. So it's Wednesday day. Wednesday day he is crucified. But by that night, the beginning of the next day, Thursday, the preparation day, he is dead. And they don't want to do anything on the preparation day. So if we go to Matthew's, let's see. Let's go to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Because we've got to make distinction here. That's why details are important. And we'll continue to look into this. We're coming up on 2 hours, so we'll stop here. John 19, 13. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Yeshua forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement. But in the Hebrew it's called Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of what? The Sabbath or the Passover. And about the sixth hour, and he said unto the Jews, behold your king. So we have the preparation here, but this is the preparation for the Passover and not the weekly Sabbath. So we'll pick this up in the morning. The Passover is not on the weekly Sabbath at this time. So we could actually take this information and we could discern, we could go back in time and say, when was the Passover on a Wednesday? What year? What years? And go back to that time and find out what day of the week it was. Okay? What year it was, what day of the week it was. But right here in John chapter 19 is the preparation of the Passover. And the people want him crucified. Then delivered him therefore unto them to be crucified. So Messiah is killed on Passover. And we know that it was not the weekly Sabbath because we're told that they're coming to get the body. And it's the day before, it's the day of preparation. We need to get ready for the weekly Sabbath. And that would be the start of a Thursday evening, the Wednesday evening, which is the start of a Thursday, the preparation day. And on that day, whether they did it during the daytime or in the evening and in the daytime, Wednesday night, Thursday during the day, they were to prepare enough for Thursday evening, which would be the start of Friday, the Sabbath. Said that wrong. Thursday evening, Friday evening, it was prepare enough for the Sabbath. I'm still saying that wrong. Friday during the day or Thursday night, they would have been preparing enough for the Sabbath. They would not be preparing anything on the Sabbath, which would have started Friday evening. So we will straighten this out in the morning, make sure that we got this all said correctly. But as we're recreating it, the Sabbath starts Friday evening. The preparation would be Thursday night, Friday during the day. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you for your word. Father, we know that Messiah could not have been crucified on a Friday and come out of the tomb at the end of the Sabbath on Saturday night, Saturday evening. He couldn't have been crucified Friday, 3, and died 3 p.m., gone into the grave, and out of the grave by Saturday. He would not have fulfilled scriptures. He would not have fulfilled the prophecy. And he would be a false Messiah. The scriptures bear a record that he did not go into the, he was not crucified on that day. And so, Father, we just want to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we want to know that Messiah was crucified on a Passover. That Passover happened during the week. And then there was another Sabbath during that week, which the people also prepared for, which was the weekly Sabbath. So, Father, we thank you for your details that you give us in the scriptures. And we thank you for allowing us to go in and look at it. We thank you for your truth. And so, Father, give us clarity of mind. Show us the scriptures that are applicable. Here a little, there a little. That we get all the details, Father. And that we know and that we are assured that our Savior is the Messiah. And where Orthodox Judaism rejects him and Christianity accepts him, we want to do it in truth. We believe with sincere hearts, fullness of thought and mind, that Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ, in the English, is our Messiah and the Savior of the world. Help us to prove that by your word. Give us attention to detail. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Now before we go, I ask a question. And let me see if anybody, and I even forgot what the question was. Anybody remember what the question is that we're supposed to be answering on this evening? No?
No. No.
I think
all
I do.
Right. Go ahead, my sister.
Is it first fruits?
The Feast of the First Fruits, yes. That's what Easter is called in the scriptures. And so we will look at that in the morning.
Amen.
Okay, the answer to the question. Well, what is the real name, the holiday, the Sabbath that we celebrate, the holiday that we celebrate, that the world calls Easter? The Most High had already given it a name. It is the Feast of the First Fruits. Messiah is the first fruits from the grave.
First.
He fulfills that. And the Most High gave it to us way back in Leviticus as a day that we would honor. And so Messiah fulfills that feast day, the Feast of the First Fruits. All right. Thank you, my sister. And you did get it correct.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. So we had some questions for Spirit. What's today? This is Saturday. I'm losing track of time here. This is Saturday evening. So tomorrow, spiritual wellness. We're going to have to actually pick up this lesson on next Sabbath. We won't pick it up tomorrow because tomorrow we are looking at, we are doing spiritual wellness, and we're looking at Black history according to the scriptures. Okay, and we're walking through that. So I gave you some questions that you were supposed to answer concerning Joseph and Jacob. And we'll answer those in the morning.
He's so breaking up.
This up. Huh? Am I breaking up?
Yeah, you were.
All right, is this better?
Yes, that is.
Yeah.
All right, I'm sorry. I put some papers over over my phone.
Okay.
Taking notes, and I put some papers over it. All right, so we will, tomorrow morning, we won't continue with this precept until next Sabbath. Okay, next Saturday evening, we'll continue in this one. We have already dedicated Sundays for the next few weeks to Black history according to the Bible. And you guys are supposed to come with the questions, with the answers to the questions that we talked about. How old was Joseph? How old was he when his father them came into Egypt, and so forth. So those answers we will answer in the morning, and we will continue in Black history according to the Bible on tomorrow morning. Then we will pick this particular precept back up next Sabbath evening. Yeah, next Sabbath. We won't do this in the morning. We'll do it next Sabbath because we already have tomorrow dedicated to Black history according to the Bible. And we're looking at the time frame of Joseph. And this is for, was for to look at the facts that are in the scriptures. And then we can use those facts to discern other things. Concerning, the scriptures say that Israel left Egypt in the 430th year. Their sojourn stopped in the 430th year after they had entered into Egypt. To the day, 430 years, they left Egypt. Okay. But we're going to look at the scriptures, and we're going to look at the time frames, and we're going to use the dates that are given to us. Remember when we were looking at the genealogy, the genealogy for Ham and Japheth did not give the dates and births of the fathers and the sons, but for Shem those days were given for a reason. And so that we could go back and calculate and see and make sure and be assured that the scriptures are true and that the dates and times that are given are true. So we're given the date. We're told how old Joseph was when he was taken into Egypt, when he was sent into slavery. We're told how old he was when he was given power. We're told how old he was when Jacob came into the land. And we're told how old he was when he died. There's some stuff that we're given. And so then we're given the birth dates of other men that are in that same genealogy. And so we can know when Moses was actually born. And we can tell how many years the children of Israel, if we start with the day that Jacob entered into the land, how many years were they really actually in the land? And if we come up with less than 430 years, then we might have a problem. Because the scripture says that they left Egypt 430 years to the day. But then we have to go someplace else to another scripture that gives us when the timing starts. You got to count 430 years, but when do you start the count? That's what's critical. So we have to go somewhere else to find out, oh, this is when the Most High started the count of that 430 years. And it may be sooner than what you think. You know, and so just as we discovered last week that there was no way that an Egyptian, a Pharaoh, there's no way that an Egyptian Pharaoh could not know Joseph, even a later Pharaoh. If he was a true Egyptian Pharaoh, there's no way that he could not know Joseph. Because it would have been written, it would have been recorded. But then I showed you in the scriptures how that was possible and how it happened. That Egypt got conquered. And the new Pharaoh that took over wasn't an Egyptian. He could care less about Egyptian history. He wasn't a Syrian. And he took the people from being what? What was our forefathers' job in Egypt? What did Pharaoh give them as a job? Anybody remember?
To tend to the sheep herd.
To tend to the royal herd. They were the royal herdsmen. That was their job. They were not city builders. But when this new Pharaoh came in, he made them start doing what?
Building cities and stuff. Making bricks.
And afflicting them. Yeah. And so the scriptures explain themselves all over the place. But we were looking at that. And we were looking at where the scriptures say in the Zondervan Bible Dictionary tells us what each of Noah's descendants, who they became. And we know that they were all, except for Japheth. Japheth took after his father, Noah. Noah was not a white man. Noah was a black man that was an albino. He was still of color, but he was an albino. And so Japheth took after his albinoism, and they kept that. But his other two sons, Ham and Shem, got his true color. And so we are told that the names of these peoples describe their ethnicity. and what their names meant, and they all meant dark or burnt or black. So that's where we stopped off at. We can pick that up in the morning. I'll ask you, you know, what ages you got, or, you know, questions that we ask. And we will continue in that study. And we will be in that study for spiritual wellness for probably the next 5 weeks with the information that I have. And I will give you homework and sources that outside of the Bible that also confirm these things. You know, it's not just one source that says this, but it is understood by even the ancient scholars, Socrates and Eusebius and Josephus, that the people of the land were black. So how we get in modern days and they're represented as white or Arab, that is the whitewashing of the scriptures. All the people of the Bible are a people of color, except for the descendants of Japheth, who took on the albinoism, and over time and over years, you know, they sort of, that gene mutated and it became permanent. Okay, and the one thing that science knows, and then we will go, science knows that you can get every color out of black, but you cannot get black out of white. So it's impossible, unless it's in their genes, for a white person to produce a person of color, of brown melanin skin, but a person of brown or black melanin skin can produce a albino, a person without color. So we will continue in this in the, that's the study for in the morning. We will pick up this one 3 days and three nights. We'll pick that up on next Sabbath evening, and I will have it more together. I will go through and redocument my timeline so that we can see that the preparation day in John 19 is different than the preparation, the weekly preparation day. It tells us what the preparation day was. There's a preparation for the Passover. There's a preparation for the weekly Passover. And we can know what those days are according to what the Most High ordered where? In the Old Testament. They would have been still keeping this. On the preparation day, you're going to gather for 2 days. That's the sixth day. All right. So, may the Most High encamp His angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. But my love does not compare to the love of the Most High. And I can't love you like you love me. Hear His commandments. Obey His voice. Walk in His way. Shalom, family, and have a blessed rest of your evening.
Shalom, Brother Miles.
You too, Brother Miles. You too.
All right, Brother Charlton. Amen. Good to hear your voice, brother.
All right. Good news.
All right. Amen. Wrong thing.
Without you, there's no me. I need a hand. way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptize, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? Without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way.